If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
The talent for so many players today, the talent and the spotlight, it's taking them to heights that their character's not strong enough to support.
I'm one of those set goals, cheat goals.
I talked about faith, passion, obviously the drive with the guys that I've been around and the guys that surround me every single day.
If I want to be one of the best, I've got to play with and against the best.
Okay, so that which gets praised gets repeated.
You're listening to the Hardwood Hustle, brought to you by PGC Basketball.
Hey, welcome to the Hardwood Hustle. This is TJ Rosine, and I'll be flying solo today. Looking forward to talking about the off season. You know, as coaches, and no matter what sport it is, you know, your off season is critical. It's crucial. It's super important to what's going to happen in the future months to come. And planning during the off season, resting during the off season, anything you can think of that you need to be doing in the off season, we're going to talk about it on this episode. And if you're listening to it, I'm recording this from my summer planning. We're about 6 to 8 weeks away from going back to school. And we never really walk away from our team. We're always constantly thinking about our team and players, and that happens in different ways for us. That's recruiting and, you know, a whole bunch of other things that we have to do during the summer and scheduling and just getting ready for the year. And for every coach at every level, there's something different that they're having to do to get ready for their season. But the off season is really crucial. We're going to talk about a few things here in this episode that might help you to better prepare for your season. I want to start out just talking about a really powerful thought for you, and it doesn't really just apply to off seasons, but I really think it's critical. I found it really a critical thought in the off season for me, and that's what are you thinking about? And you always want to be conscious of your thoughts. It doesn't matter if it's off season, preseason, in season, or any aspect of life. You need to constantly be evaluating what are you thinking about. And I was reminded of this in a movie I recently watched, and was thinking about. Is talking about money and the place it has in your life and different aspects of your life. What place does it hold? And a really good way to think about that is how much of your time does it consume? Your thoughts, you know, how much time are you spending actually thinking about it? And so if you're conscious to that, you've probably all been in different states of life where, you know, maybe, you know, you're having financial struggles and you're trying to think through, you know, what's the next step, and it's constantly consuming you. You know, I found ourselves, even right now, we're in the process of moving and just changing houses, and you don't know exactly where we're going to live yet, and trying to think of that. And I find that consuming a huge majority of my thoughts. And what I'm really trying to evaluate is how healthy that is. Obviously, it's a prominent thing. We got to find a place to live. Family's got to know, you know, where the roof's going to be over their head. But do I really want it to be 80% of my thoughts? It's probably an unhealthy amount of time for it to be consuming my thoughts with all the other things in the world that are so important to me. And really, I don't want it to be the number one thing that I think about, yet it has been the number one thing I think about. But when I'm conscious of the fact that it's the number one thing I'm thinking about, then I can say, you know, this is not really where I want to put my attention, my energy, and my mind power, my thoughts. That's not really where I want 80% of my thoughts to go, because there's a lot of things I want to do in life, and if I'm having a majority of my thoughts on something as important yet trivial as the house is, then I'm disproportionate to how I really want to live. And I think as coaches, there's a couple things when we're thinking about the off season. What are you thinking about? I think that's the first place you should start at is what are you actually thinking about right now in relationship to your team? I mean, there's obviously a lot of other thoughts that we have to go through, and, you know, developing our spiritual life, developing our relationships, developing who we want to be as a mother or a father, or, you know, our finances. There's tons of things that we think about. But in relation to your team, when you stop and you start thinking about your team, what are the things that you're thinking about? I think it plays two different roles here. Number one, I think when you start thinking about what are you thinking about, it's probably what you naturally gravitate towards, the thing that you probably find the most important. So let's just say that 60% of your thought goes to new plays. It's probably kind of how you're wired as a coach. You probably think that you can fix things and make things better if you can fix the X's and O's. If 60% of your thoughts thinking about your culture, then you probably value building a culture and a chemistry amongst your team because you think that's what's going to help you win. And if it goes to, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, and you're thinking about ways to develop that in the preseason, that's 60, 70% of your thoughts. That's probably what you lean towards and thinking a team will get better. So first of all, just evaluating, what are you thinking about? And then number two, I think it'll tell you a couple things. It'll probably tell your weaknesses as well. You know, if you're not thinking about all those things, because as a coach, we really have to, you know, be the strategizer, the visionary person for our program or for our team. And if we're thinking about one thing 60, 70% of the time, maybe it is a strength. Maybe it's the thing we should have the most of our time on, but make sure it is the right thing. And what are we neglecting if the majority of our time is going to that place? So a practical example, you know, if you're thinking about your offense and all the plays that you're going to run and the things that you're going to do and your transition, and that's consuming 70% of your time. Well, that means only 30% of your time is thinking about stuff like building a culture or what you're going to do on defense or what kind of things you're going to hold most crucial to your team's development this year, what you're going to do in the preseason, midseason, and late season for strength and conditioning. And there's a whole myriad of things that you could run through that you have to handle as the CEO of your program. But whatever it consumes most of your thoughts is likely something that you feel is most important. And it could be, and it could change over your career. You know, you could be thinking about there's something you become very comfortable with. For instance, defense. It's something that over time my philosophies continue to evolve, but I don't feel like I need 70% of my thought time anymore or 60% of my thought time anymore. Because I feel pretty comfortable if we were to walk into the gym today, I know what we'd want to do defensively and kind of know how we would go about it. Now, there's still a lot of planning left, but a pretty good idea of what we want to do and what good or what great looks like for our team defensively and a vision for how to get them there. So that might have consumed more of my time earlier, but not nearly as much time now because it's a place that I feel comfortable. So recognizing that as a shift, you know, it's not that I don't care about defense. It's just a place that I feel much more comfortable that we can get to quickly. So then I'm trying to problem solve other things that we might need to fix in our program. So I took some time and try to do some planning, some evaluating of my team. And, you know, there's a couple of different things that came to mind. And one that probably consumes most of my thoughts is, and you've heard us talk a lot about this, but just being, you know, a coach that's transformational. And I found a lot of my thoughts going to that place of transformation. Like, what are the things that I can do? Because every year I walk away and I think about being a transformational coach. But at the end of the year, I think, man, there's so many places that I missed. There's so many relationships that didn't get to the place I wanted them to get to. And I didn't love so-and-so as much as I wanted to. I didn't have as many conversations with my players individually as I wanted to. That's kind of how I feel at the end of every year. Is I wish I would have done more of that. So not that that's right or wrong, but that's my belief. That's my thought. That's where I want to be, you know, better. So a lot of my thoughts go there. Should we have more individual meetings? Should we have more small group meetings? Should we have more team meetings? What are the things that we need to do to develop better relationships? What are the things that we need to do to make sure that we're extremely transformational as a coaching staff? So as I'm evaluating the things that I'm thinking about, that probably takes up the most of my time. And then, second, I think a lot about our personnel. And I think a lot about what should we be doing with our personnel? What's the best offense? Who should be getting certain shots? Even though it's a long ways away and there's a lot to be determined, putting down some ideal lineups and different things that might work. Now, it usually never holds course to what you write down in the summer, and people surprise you and people move backwards and forwards and, you know, all different types of things. People have great off seasons, but it doesn't hurt to be thinking about that. And I spend some time thinking about that and in relationship to, you know, should we get in the passing lane? Should we back off the passing lane a little bit? What kind of defenders are we going to have? What's our primary lineup? You know, the top seven players, what are their strengths? And how, you know, are five of them good at this and two of them are good at that? Well, maybe we go with the five, or we can look at it vice versa and say, well, we got a diverse group of defenders. Well, what makes the most sense? Should we actually give them some flexibility to do what they want to do, but that's going to take away from, you know, teaching a singular habit across the board because we're going to teach one thing to this person, another thing to that person? How much time is that going to take from our practice plan? So you get the point. Those are all the things that we're thinking through in the off season. You know, mine primarily have gone to, you know, becoming more transformational each year. And that's where I spend a lot of my time thinking now as I miss my players and we're away from them from the season. And I'm thinking about what we can do to build better relationships. I think about our personnel and what types of things we should be running. What should I be learning to prepare to be able to teach the things that I think are going to fit my guys. And things, obviously, like I said earlier, that I can spend less time on. Things that I feel more comfortable with teaching our guys because we've done it for a longer period of time. So those are the first couple of thoughts. I'm going to come back and share you a couple more thoughts that I have here in just a second, and also some other things that might be beneficial for you to be doing in the off season to make sure you're preparing your team to the best of your ability. But we're going to take a quick halftime break and get the communication tip of the day from our friends over at Team Snap.
Thanks to our friends over at Team Snap for today's halftime communication tip. Coaches, I have a question for you. How often are you having daily conversations with your players about things that have nothing to do with basketball? Think about life, family, faith. Are those conversations happening with your players? Are they happening 5% of the time, 20% of the time? Is your conversation 50% basketball and 50% things outside of basketball? I don't think there's a set percentage that it needs to be, but I do know you need to evaluate and make sure the conversations that you're having do not strictly revolve around basketball. There needs to be a healthy balance as you try to get to know them and get them to know you and build that trust that coaches and players need to have with one another. Conversations have to extend beyond basketball. If right now you think it's maybe only 5, 10, 15, 20% of the time, maybe this will be the week that you challenge yourself to enhance that, to add to that, and build upon things that you've been doing in the past. Just want to encourage you and best of luck this week, coaches. Thanks to our friends over at Team Snap. Make sure you check out teamsnap.com/hustle to learn more about their communication app that is being used by over 15 million people across the globe. It can help change the game for your team and bring everyone on the same page, organizing schedules with your parents, players, and staff.
Okay, coaches. So in the first part, I shared a couple of things. I said that I was thinking about being more transformational. I was thinking about the things that fit our personnel. Some other things that don't consume as much of my time, but that I'm also thinking about. I'm really thinking about our time and resources. You know, like what time will we have to work with these guys? You know, what's our preseason look like? We have certain rules of what we can and can't do, as you have with your team, things that you can and can't do, and how are we going to maximize that time? Like, for instance, in the preseason, we get 2 hours, you know, a week with each player or as a team. If the whole team's there together, everybody's hours count, but we only have 2 hours a week. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about if we were to maximize those 2 hours, what would we do? Because there's a ton of things that you could choose from. You know, do we do 4 30-minute player development sessions? Do we do 2 1-hour team practices? Do we focus only on offense? Do we focus only on defense? What's going to need the most amount of our time this year, because it's going to be the biggest difference from what we did the previous year? So really thinking in terms of, you know, time and how we can spend that time. Another thing is thinking about the resources and what resources are we going to have during that time? Are we going to have 6 baskets or 4 baskets? Are we going to have 2 coaches or 3 coaches or 1 coach? Are we going to have access to video some of these? How much of that time can we use the video breakdown? If we move too quick on the basketball stuff, is our culture going to get behind? If we spend too much time on the culture, our basketball players are not going to be ready early. Things that haven't gone well in the past. We finished really well in past seasons, but we haven't started well. So I've been speaking to a lot of coaches thinking about why are the reasons that we haven't started well, but we finished well. What can we do to maintain finishing well, but also improve starting better? Those are all questions, and yours are probably different than mine, but we're all trying to answer those types of questions. Now, to put those into perspective into how can we actually maximize the off season to really move ourselves forward once we actually get to the season. So I think first things first, I think list really help you. And list in terms of really things that are super important to you. And if we were to all sit down and write a list, all of our lists would probably look pretty different. But I like to write down a list of things, and I try and put the top 3 in every area and run it through my assistant coaches and maybe even a couple players. And I definitely like to spend a lot of time talking to other coaches in the off season. So thinking about, you know, gosh, if it was we had to narrow it down to one thing, what would it be? Because I think that's really crucial for a good vision and for good focus. is we can get really sidetracked because there's so many things we want to do in basketball, so many things we want to be good at. We can get really sidetracked if we don't actually prioritize and put pen to paper and say these are the things that are most important. So we try and break down just about every category of the game and put down the three most important things. For instance, you know, offensively. All right, this year, what do we want our team to look like offensively? And we'll just go through an example. So let's just say that, you know, gosh, we turn the ball over 16, 17 times a game. We really don't want to do that again. We felt like that cost us in a lot of games. We recognize that as, you know, if we were narrowing our offense down to three things, we want to take care of the ball better. So then my mind's going to what things can we do to take care of the ball better? And you're searching out. You know, Bo Ryan used to do at Wisconsin is that he never let coaches pass in practice. Players always had to do it. They were a low turnover team. So I'm looking for little nuggets like that, little things that say, you know, here's a way to transform our team as far as ball protection. It's an offensive skill. So we're looking to how to become, you know, a better passing team. So I think about that being one of our offensive things. We're going to turn the ball over less and then, you know, pick two other things offensively that we really want to gear towards. And that'll also help to drive our planning in the preseason. And some of you have three-man groups, two-man groups, four-man groups. Well, it changes when you look at your time and resources. Well, if you have one coach and two players, what you're going to do to make sure that those players get better is drastically different than you have the entire team there. So if you can start with those lists and some categories that we like to go with is you know, building a culture, you know, what things go into that. Relationships, you know, what do we want relationships to be like this year? What are the three things that we want to focus on in developing relationships with our players? What are the three things that we want to do offensively? What are the three things we want to do defensively? Just list anything that you find of value of your team, and you start putting it into paper. I've shared oftentimes with people our blueprint of what we use, and every year our blueprint changes, and it gets better and better. But basically, our blueprint is our roadmap, and we start with the things that are most important to us. And then, you know, as you get on with that and you feel like I feel pretty comfortable, you don't have to get all the way there, but 80% of the way there of what you feel comfortable with, then you start thinking of particulars. You know, so for instance, we want to grow our players, you know, spiritually. We want to grow them relationally, and we want to teach them how to have impact. And so what do we do from there? So one of the things that we did last year was build out a different thing that we would do. So we would do one major team thing per semester that we felt built their ability to serve others. And then we would say we'll have three-man groups once a week, and this is going to help us to relationally have good conversations with each other, whether it's talking about hard things, whether it's talking about cultural topics that are going on. So we've done those small groups and, you know, so on and so on. We come up with different ways in our blueprint, and I'd be happy to share that with anybody that wants to see that it continues to evolve for our team to be able to get to that place where this is what the process looks like. So our off season is just sharpening the process. And if you don't have a process, you don't know what the process looks like for your team, I encourage you to write one down, to start building one. And over time, you know, each year that process changes a little bit, but once you start finding better ways to do each thing and you record that, you're going to build out a better process. And, you know, the flip side of that is if you aren't doing that, if you aren't tracking what's working, you aren't tracking what's developing, and you aren't building out a blueprint or a process paper where you know, like, this is what our program does, this is what we do in the preseason, off season, here's what we do offensively, you know, defensively, you're not going to be as organized, you're not going to be as structured, and you're not going to get as much done if you're just kind of going with the feel of the day or the whim that might come your way. So really being able to put pen to paper and to organize what the actual process looks like for you. And then once you have a process, we're about 2 or 3 years into actually having a process. Now, we've always had a process, but we haven't had it as organized as we have it now. But the one thing that's really good about having an organized process is now we can go to the off season. We can evaluate the process. We can look at the things that we're doing well and the things that we're not doing well. And now we're spending more quality time improving our program rather than just, you know, random thoughts. Now, there are good times just to step back from everything and say, you know, just because it's our process doesn't mean it's the best process. Where are we winning and where are we losing? Because then you want to change your process. And we should be in constant pursuit of changing the process all the time until we get it to this well-oiled machine, which likely won't happen to us in the first 20 years of our career, or 30 years maybe even of our career. I mean, you're always going to find ways to get better. But once the process is hammered out, once the process is on paper or computer, however you do it, then you're going to be much more efficient at improving the process. And I think this is a blueprint we could follow from really good businesses. You know, they all have a process. This is what we do. But really good businesses, just like really good coaches, they're not afraid to adapt. They're not afraid to look at new things. They're not afraid to change because the times have changed, or their team has changed, or their talent level has changed. And so those are things that really challenge us in the off season to say, hey, here's the process, but here's the things that are changing. Here's the things that we need to do different. Here's the things that we hang our hat on and we don't want to change. And it's important to have a good 30,000 foot picture of the entire thing so that you can get so much in the weeds. If you don't have the big process, oftentimes you can be in the off season thinking about how do we do this one little thing better? How do we do that, this one drill better? Or what are some new drills? And sometimes a lot of times what we do is over implement. We find so many things in the off season, we try and bring it in. But you know, if you're dealing in a process oriented way with a process sheet, then you're saying, well, gosh, you know, these 15 new drills right here, that's a lot of new drills for, you know, a team with, you know, with a brand new group of people. But you also might look at it and say, you know, I've got a veteran team, you know, throwing into 10 to 12 new drills this year that they haven't seen, but they actually serve a really good purpose. This could add a little bit of spice to the season. This is something that might, you know, perk them up, because the process is the process and we don't want to get away from that. But also, you know, if they've been down that road and they've been on that journey once or twice, mixing it up can be a really good thing. So, in summary, coaches, first evaluate and be conscious of what you are thinking about this offseason. It'll tell you a lot about yourself as a coach. It'll tell you the way that you're wired, you know, I mean, the things that probably matter the most to you. And if you're okay with what you're thinking about the most, mattering the most to you, no problem. If you're not, it's a good time to evaluate and step back and say, gosh, yeah, I know I want to be a transformational coach, but all I ever think about is X's and O's. There's nothing wrong with that. You're being honest with yourself about the thoughts where you're at, but you also know the person that you want to be, and it gives you an opportunity to try and change the way that you're thinking. We do control, to some degree, the things that we think about. And I tell my players all the time, where our mind goes, the things that we're thinking about are really, really crucial. It doesn't matter if we're talking about confidence. It doesn't matter if we're talking about school. It doesn't matter if we're talking about our basketball team. The place we allow our thoughts to go to is really important. And we've got to practice being better at controlling those thoughts and putting those thoughts into the time, and the thoughts and time and energy where we want it to go. Because we're all guilty if we just step back and we just let our thoughts wander. They probably go to a lot of different places that we don't want to spend the majority of our time. So just like any other habit, the habit of controlling your thoughts so that they focus on the things that you value and think are the most important is a process. The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. The more you think about it, and the more you think about and more aware you are of the thoughts that you're thinking, the more you can control those thoughts. So coaches, as you're thinking and planning your off season, there's just a couple ideas for you. We'll dive deeper in later episodes on some specifics of that, whether it's in culture or offense or defense or in team building or whatever it might be. But the first, you know, step to that, I think the takeaway from this is, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Number two is, where am I in the process plan? And maybe you have your process, but you haven't put it to paper. Maybe you've never been conscious of what your process is. And you think, well, if we were to put a process down, here's what it would look like. What do we like about it? What don't we like about it? But I encourage you to go ahead and start making out that process so that you can improve that process. I think it's a good practice of a lot of business owners. It's a good practice of good coaches. And it'd be a great practice for you to pick up and to continue to build your process. But hey, I'm TJ Rosine, and this is the Hardwood Hustle, and thanks for joining.